So we just prayed the Lord's Prayer together, right? And we say that a lot around here. You may pray it at home, at night. I know I taught my children to pray it. And we can say that thing in sort of a rote kind of way, without really thinking about the words that we're saying, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I see if I can say it really fast so I can hurry up and get through it. It doesn't work that way. You're right, Mary. But we can not really think about the words that we are praying. And so let me just remind you what you just prayed. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In essence, what you prayed is, please forgive me like I forgive other people. Right? I mean, that's really what that says. And implicit in that is that you are not forgiven if you don't forgive others. Kind of scary. So that is what you have just prayed here in the Lord's Prayer. Our text today, it comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It is the 6th chapter, and we're going to read verse 12 and then verses 14 and 15, and these are about forgiveness. Excuse me while I find Matthew 6. I know it's in the front part of the New Testament. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wait a minute. I thought I was forgiven. I mean, I've prayed the sinner's prayer, and I've called Jesus my Savior, and I believe that I'm saved, and I believe that I'm forgiven. This text that we just read comes from the big fat middle of Jesus' longest teaching discourse. Sometime back I told you that there were 5 great discourses, teaching moments, in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. And this is some of Jesus' most difficult teaching. It was easy for him to teach it, but it's hard for us to hear, and even harder for us to do. I mean, some of the things that he said is, before you try to get something out of your friend's eye, pull the plank out of your own. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemy. I mean, these are the things that are in the Sermon on the Mount. And then there's this one. You will be forgiven as you forgive others. So I just thought I was forgiven, because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and so I'm forgiven. But it seems that there might be a condition here to my being forgiven. We're going to come back to that. So let's talk about this word trespass that we say in our Lord's Prayer. Other denominations say debts. I mean, the word can be translated kind of both ways. There are several different Greek words that mean sin. Just like love, you know, we know all the different kinds of love that the Greeks have, and we have one word for love. We just like use different intonation to mean different things. It's contextual. Well, they also have several different words for sin. They have different meanings. And we have sort of different understandings, right, of sin. We say that there's sins of omission. I sin because I didn't do something. I didn't care for the person that I was supposed to care for, and that's a sin of omission. And then there's the sin of commission, where I did it. Well, I know God wants me to go to church, but I'm going to play golf instead. That's a sin of commission. One where you choose to do something that you know is not right. And then the thing is, we rank sins, don't we? In the human world, we rank sins. I mean, we can start with like the biggest one, genocide. And then there's murder. And then there's rape. And then there's adultery, lying, cheating, speeding. Wait, that's not a sin. But we rank them. I'm not really sure that God sees them as ranked. But we do. And I don't know about you, but I find myself like that tax collector. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that Adolf Hitler. Killing off all those people? Or the axe murderer down the street? Or somebody else that's doing things that they ought not do? And I think to myself, hey, self, you're doing pretty good on this whole sin thing. I mean, you hadn't killed anybody today. Heck, I hadn't even thought about killing anybody today. I hadn't even lied yet. It's only 9 o'clock, but I haven't told a lie yet. I'm doing all right. I don't have a whole lot to be forgiven for. We can find ourselves talking to ourselves like that sometimes, can't we? But you need to really understand what the meaning of sin is. What you are being forgiven for. There is an idea of sin that comes from the Greek, and it's the word that is used as we translate trespasses or debts. We need to get a handle on this understanding of sin because it's the real sin that we commit in our lives all the time. This idea of debt, it's not a physical debt that we're talking about. It's a failure to do your duty, to do what is right. That's the debt that we're talking about. Not a physical debt that we owe God or that we owe someone else. But the idea of sin in this Greek word is you failed to do your duty. Now, I'm pretty sure not any of us can say I've never failed to do my duty, to do what is right. We especially can't say that when it comes to doing God's will, to doing what is right in God's eyes. Right? I mean, none of us can say that. Jesus is the only one who lived that life. We try to be like Christ, but we fall short. Time and time and time again. And that is the debt that you are asking to be forgiven for. And so if you really have a good understanding of what that is, what that means, then you want to be forgiven, and you know that what you are being forgiven for is huge. I mean, Paul gets it right in Romans when he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul goes on in another book to call himself, I am the chief sinner, when he's talking about his church. So when we pray that prayer, forgive us our debts, that's what we're praying for. All of our shortcomings, all of our failures to do what God has called us to do. Let's get back to this conundrum that we had. I thought I was forgiven. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. So I'm forgiven. Well, if you're a believer of Scripture, I'm not sure it's quite that clean. We say that. That we believe this is the Word of God. For the people of God, we say, right? Well, Scripture makes it very clear that we are not just forgiven, clean bill of health, but that you have an obligation to forgive as you have been forgiven. And I would love to tell you that it's just something that Matthew thought was really important, but I can't. Because it shows up in Luke. It shows up in Mark. John talks about it a little, but not quite as specifically. It's a recurring theme in Jesus' teachings that you are forgiven as you forgive others. So it's not just enough to be a follower of Jesus, but you have to practice it. You have to forgive as you have been forgiven. And this appears other places in Scripture. I mean, Matthew 18 says flat out, you will be forgiven as you forgive others. And then Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the ungrateful servant. Remember that story? This guy has a bunch of debts to basically a king, a big leader. Huge debts. And the guy calls him in and says, I'm going to throw you in the poorhouse, sell you and your family so that I can pay these debts. The guy falls on his knees and says, forgive me, please, give me more time, I'll pay you. And so the rich man forgives the whole debt, wipes it clean. You're forgiven. And what's the ungrateful servant do? He goes out, some other servant, lesser servant, owes him like $100. And he says, I'm going to throw you in the poorhouse until you can pay me. The rich guy, he hears about what's just happened. And he throws him out. Into the outer darkness where there are weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's not good, people. So we are forgiven. But we are expected to forgive as we have been forgiven. The other thing about this idea of our needing to forgive others, good for us to forgive others. I mean, we sang about it some. I mean, here's what I have discovered about holding grudges, not forgiving people. First off, they're really heavy. And the longer you go, the heavier they get. And here's the sort of dirty little secret about all that. Probably the person that you are holding this grudge against, that you are failing to forgive for whatever it is they have done, probably are totally unaware that you're even mad about it. And so this not forgiving them, it doesn't hurt them. Not one bit. Oh, but it hurts you. It messes with your whole life. So God, Jesus, knows something about what he's talking about when he says, forgive as you have been forgiven. Because it's not good for you to carry a grudge. It's not good for you to not forgive others. And odds are, you're not even hurting the person that you're mad at. So why carry it? And then there's this issue about forgiving yourself. Sometimes it's more difficult for us to give ourselves than others. I should have known better. Oh man, I really failed there. And you carry that around. And it becomes a burden for you. Gotta learn to forgive yourself as well. It's important. I'll give you an example. As I was going through the process to go into ministry, a woman that had been a pastor at my church and was now pastoring a church of her own asked me to come and preach for her. And about 2 weeks from the time I was supposed to preach, something came up, and I called her, and I really would rather do that than preach. And so I canceled on her about 2 weeks before I was supposed to preach. She was going to go on a trip, and she was going to be gone. And as I started into the ministry, I realized what really a rotten thing I had done to her. And it bothered me. And I sort of carried that around, and it sort of grew in me. And look, and this is not a huge thing. It's just a little thing. But still, it grew. It's like a pebble in my shoe. And then it grew to like a big rock in my shoe. And I had the opportunity to be visiting with her about something else. And I said, hey, I need to ask your forgiveness for something. She didn't even remember. She was like, oh, well, sure. I didn't even remember that happened. But I got to put that burden down. Got that rock out of my shoe. I recognize that's sort of a trivial thing. But it was still something that I had difficulty forgiving myself for. So what is it that you need to forgive yourself for? What rock do you have in your shoe that you need to stop and pull out? Look, I get it. Forgiving especially others, but forgiving ourselves as well, it can be really hard. I mean, it can be really hard work. You have to want to forgive and really mean it. You know, I've had some experience with this. I've had some folks do what I thought were some really awful, rotten things to me, and I was not excited to forgive them because I was ticked. And it started off something like, dear God, I forgive them. I really do. It was a start. God knew that it wasn't sincere. But I started praying. Help me to learn to forgive. Help me to forgive them. It took about 6 months. But I got to put that burden down. And it was a relief because it was getting heavy. So it can take some work to forgive others when you've been wronged. You really have to want to. So pray for God to help you. Because when you forgive, you are loving. You are loving like God has loved you when you forgive. I'm going to show you a clip that talks about this. It's from a movie, Into the Wild. And it's a true story about a man who graduates from college and then sells everything he has and goes and lives in the wilderness in Alaska. And in this movie, he runs across three or four people that really shape his life. And in one of his contacts with one of these characters, one of these folks, they talk about forgiveness. Let's take a look. I love that. When you forgive, you love, and when you love, God's light shines on you. That's why we need to struggle to forgive others. Not just because we won't be forgiven if we don't, because it is love. When you forgive, you also receive the gift of forgiveness. When you forgive, you put down a burden of guilt and of shame. When you recognize you are forgiven through the work of Jesus the Christ, you are forgiven. And you must forgive too.